We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
It's time to wake up.
DJ Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Good morning, USA!
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet, it's Thursday! The weekend is here!
Well, not
pretty much.
No, nigga, it's here.
It's not.
Okay, I start my weekend on Thursday. You know why?
Why?
Because you can do that in life. I can curate my own week.
Okay.
So y'all can say weekend starts on Friday. I'm starting mine on Thursday.
Damn. All right. Well, do what you
want.
I'm
not mad at it.
Do what
and
you feel.
Shout out to Detroit. This weekend, I'm actually having a wholesale day at my store in Detroit, private label. So if you are in the Detroit area and you want to buy some bundles, some wigs, some lashes, any of those things, I'll be out there for a wholesale day.
You better sell some wholesale gas. That's where the money at now.
Wholesale gas.
Listen, that's not possible right now.
Wholesale gas.
But I saw all these tips online they were giving people on how to conserve gas, like things that you should do to conserve gas so you don't have to keep on filling up your tank as frequently.
Well, tell me. What's the way?
They said not drive.
Yeah,
drive.
That's one way.
Buy a bike.
They said using cruise control on the highway so you maintain a constant speed. That will save you gas.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, because I guess you're not like speeding up too fast. How else can you conserve? It was like a whole bunch of they said drive more slowly. Make sure your tires are inflated. See if your car has an eco mode. Get regular maintenance and avoid driving in heavy traffic when possible.
Right.
Avoid heavy traffic. You got to go to work at rush hour times, right? 9 to 5.
And avoid maintenance. How you avoid maintenance?
No, it says to get maintenance.
Oh, to get maintenance. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Get maintenance.
Well, that means
you got
to pay for it.
You got to pay for
that's
it.
Like
exactly
for gas.
Here's the thing about gas. There's no way around it. It's just one of those things we all need.
Well, unless you get an electric car.
That costs money, too.
Or you can take the train.
All these things y'all talking about cost money.
The train is definitely way cheaper than buying gas.
Everybody don't have train. I grew up in South Carolina. We ain't got no trains.
Well, if you have a train, there's a lot of places that do.
So
public transportation.
All right. Well,
period.
My book finally came in. Drop a bomb for the book. Drop a bomb.
I see.
The book came.
Real life, real love.
I left one in front of you, Angela Yee, and then I left one in front of you, Charlamagne, face down.
Ass up.
Yes.
I see it.
Yes, I figure you like to start from the back, so I, you know, put it face
what
down.
The
so
hell?
You get right to the back. Right
I didn't
to it.
Say this.
Yes, you did.
I'm looking at my blurb on the back. Why would I start off if you come from a similarly dysfunctional background?
That's
a
what?
What? What's the word if you come from a what?
A similarly. What is that? Similarly?
You wrote it,
similar.
Not me.
If you come from a similar.
Wait, you come
background.
From a similarly dysfunctional background?
If you're just looking to strengthen a relationship that might not have gotten as much maintenance as... I don't even talk like
you gotta
that.
You got to get regular maintenance.
I don't talk
that's
like that.
Well, who wrote this?
I didn't write Charlamagne wrote it.
This is not what I wrote.
Yes, it is.
What I wrote was way sexier.
No, it's not.
Let me see. No, oh, look at this. Huh? How do you tell your partner that sex is good without hurting their feelings? Gia answered that right away. Simple answer. You don't. If I'm being honest, I cannot imagine. Oh, wow. So the sex isn't good. Wow.
Shut up, boy.
My daughter, she got a cheerleading competition, so I'll be reading this weekend.
Well, you can definitely pre-order the
book.
Oh,
my gosh. There's
April
a whole
19th.
Chapter on how your sex isn't good.
April 19th, you can definitely eat
a That
book
is the
out.
Funniest answer you to can... a question. How do you tell your partner that sex isn't good without hurting their feelings? She says, simple answer, you don't. I have been struggling for years.
All right. Ye,
that's not
gracious.
What she said. Is that what she said for real?
Yes.
No. Was if I get to that part in the book, you in for something. You in for hell with me.
It was
a long time ago. It was a long time ago.
What?
It was a long
she
time
said,
ago.
She said, I have been struggling for years.
Yeah, look, listen, that was a long time ago. But yeah,
I need to read context. I don't.
There was no context. It was true, but yeah, we.
It doesn't even say that, Envy. I was kidding.
Oh, okay. I thought she did write that.
Why is DJ Clue and Kirk Franklin together in a chapter?
No, they're not together.
Hip-hop can make some odd combinations.
Well, Kirk Franklin and Lil Baby did do a record together.
Now, see, this makes sense. Charlamagne the God, 50 Cent. That makes sense.
No, but Kirk Franklin, he's been an inspiration in my life, and Clue was one of the first people to help me get in this industry. He's known me and Gear for, 25 years?
How the hell
years?
Was Kirk Franklin an inspiration in your life?
I speak to him time to time, and he gives me advice and things like that.
I saw Kirk in the airport the other day, too. Salute to Kirk, man. Yeah. Dropping the Clues bombs for Kirk Franklin.
Shout out to him and his wife.
I saw Kirk in the airport in L.A. They was going crazy. For
really?
like on some
listen,
boy
Kirk
band
Franklin is
stuff.
No joke, okay?
No joke.
There's a chapter how I became DJ Envy, mm-hmm. and then it says parentheses Envy. He talks about how it was LL Cool J's Bigger and Deffer album. He said Envy said I was standing at the bus stop sucking on a lollipop, and a kid I knew named Ernesto Shaw.
I haven't even read this yet, and I know that's out of context.
It definitely didn't say that. They're just making things up. I hate you guys.
I will read this
you know
this
what?
Weekend.
I'm giving the book back. I'm going to give it to you after the show. Give it back
this
after
weekend.
The show. My goodness, let's get the show cracking, man. All right, who's joining us this morning?
Anjanou
Ellis.
Yeah, Anjanou. Sorry, Anjanou
yes.
Ellis.
Yes, she, of course, is from King Richard. She played Serena and Venus's mom mm-hmm. in King Richard. So we're going to talk to her, kick it with her. And we got front page news next. What are we talking about?
We'll give you some updates on Russia and Ukraine. And we'll also talk about a city council meeting where somebody really broke down the whole situation.
All right. We'll get into all that next when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. All right, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yeezy?
Well, let's start with a Texas City Council meeting. Now, this guy who is known as Primetime Stein, a.k.a. Alex Stein, attended the meeting, and he had a Bluetooth speaker, and he did a little rap that was very anti-Putin and in support of Ukraine. Here's what that sounded like.
They call me Primetime 99 Alex Stein. Hope you guys like my flavor.
My flavor.
Time, 99, on the grind, all the time.
Hey.
Go insane for Ukraine. A bullet in Putin's brain.
Hey.
I'm on the time, always on the grind.
Hey.
Always got to shine. And you know it's no lie.
My best friend.
What? Oh, excuse me. Come on, audio. Where are we going? Now we're going.
You
now
should see everybody guys. Sitting in a city council meeting just
bit.
Looking.
It's prime time. Let's start that one more time, guys. Come on,
hey.
The audience.
Oh my
it's
God.
Tonight. It's prime time. Officer, you know I'm on the ground.
You know. Stop on the clues bomb for prime time, baby. Come on, Red.
Put a bullet in Tim's head. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm a freak for the vaccine. Vaccinate my body. At the party.
Oh.
Sipping Bacardi.
Imagine you're at a city council meeting and this is going on. This is Alex Stein.
Wouldn't surprise me at all in America in 2022 is what I expect.
Okay. And then he also shouted out Senator Lindsey Graham for calling on the Russian people to assassinate Putin after wrapping up by thanking the whole council.
Okay. Drop on the clues bombs for prime time once
prime
again.
Time.
America has jumped the shark. Okay. This American project has failed. All right, Isaac mm-hmm. Newton said that the end of civilization as we know it, the end of society as we know it is like 2060. MIT professors predict 2040.
All right. Joe Biden has called Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, a war criminal. And it's the harshest condemnation of Putin from any U.S. official since the war in Ukraine began 3 weeks ago. So previously, he stopped short of that, but he did say now I think he is a war criminal.
How do we know that we aren't already in World War III and they're just not calling it that?
Zelensky has said that World War III may have already started.
Yes, it's not like America isn't providing aid for Ukraine. It's not like NATO isn't assisting Ukraine. You know, clearly we were seeing Russia invade Ukraine. I think we already in World War III and they're just not calling it yet. They haven't framed it as such yet. Mm. Even though last week Joe Biden did say, you know, he wouldn't send troops into Ukraine because then that would be the start of World War III. But it's like, what's the difference between aid and equipment and everything else?
To me, nothing.
Well, he's been saying that since the beginning, that we're not going to send over any troops. And I think he won't even shut down the airspace.
It's like, I'm not going to throw a gun. I'm not going to throw a missile, but I'm going to give Ukraine a missile so they can throw it.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
But I think part of that is what Putin has said, is that if they do send over any manpower, then that will definitely be...
Well... I was reading an article in the New York Times, and the headline is Russia digs in. What's the risk of nuclear war? And it's not zero.
So.
Okay.
But let's be clear. This is all Putin's doing. It ain't like, you know, what are you supposed to do? He's bombing places. That's why Joe Biden called him a war criminal. You know, he's bombing children's hospitals and all kinds of places. And that is what makes you a war criminal.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Purposefully
I don't know
targeting civilians.
I really don't know. What's happening?
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open. Again, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Mike calling out of West Palm.
Mike, what's up? What up? What up? Get it off your chest, Mike.
Man, listen, man. My brother has been irresponsible on, you know, most of his life, right? So he still lives with my mom. He's almost 30. And yesterday, so the light bill was just right. I've been running around working. I got school, got kids, whatever. He was supposed to give me the money to put it in her account because she's sick and in the hospital right now. And he wanted to wait till 12 o'clock last night to give me the money. So what I did was I told him that FPL came and shut the power off, but I just turned the breaker off to let him kind of soak in his actions. How long do you think I should leave it off before I tell him that before I tell him that it's just a breaker?
I mean, it's up to you, man. Like,
what's the weather like though? Is it too hot?
Nah, man, not really.
Has he done a prank to you? Has he done something to you that you're getting him back for?
Oh, my God. All my life.
Oh, let it simmer for a second,
yeah,
my brother.
Let it sit.
Let God move you. Let God move you to let him know when the gig is up, okay?
All right, man. All right. Good morning, guys, by the way.
Good morning.
Have a great day.
And then you shouldn't tell him either. You should never tell him. You should just turn it back on.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell him. Just turn it back on and find a way to be the hero in this situation. Like, I got your power back on.
Oh, man. All right. I like that one. I'll do that.
Okay. That's right.
Hello, who's this?
It's JJ.
JJ, what up? Get it off your chest.
What's going on, man? So I've been seeing on the news a lot of articles about, you know, Putin giving out, you know, chemical suits and whatnot. So I think we're already at the brink of World War III. It just depends on whether he's going to pull that trigger on chemical warfare and actually get, you know, the NATO to step in. I don't know. It all depends on the world. You know, the U.S., you know, we're going to step out there and, you know, show face to Ukraine if, you know, Putin steps up to chemical warfare and nukes and all that.
I don't even think we're on the verge, bro. I think we're already in the midst of it, and they just haven't labeled it as such. But it's a great article in the New York Times. I think it came out yesterday, and it really talks about that. You know, how Russia, the headline is Russia digs in. What's the risk of nuclear war? It's not zero. And they break down why this author breaks down why he feels like nuclear war is imminent.
Most definitely, yeah. There's definitely going to put something pop up, you know, one of these days. You know, something big is going to happen, and we're just going to have to see how humanity, you know, reacts to everything and what the U.S. is going to do and NATO and whatnot.
Well, Isaac Newton said the end of society would be 2060. Some MIT predicted 2040. So we'll see.
Great. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up.
Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
It's Anthony from Florida. What's up?
Anthony from Florida. Get it off your chest, bro.
All right. First, I want to shout out the beautiful women in my life. My mom, she's traveling right now. She's out of town. Stay warm. My wife at home with my kids during spring break. My sister, my grandma out there in New York, too. But I want to just say I'm a new homeowner. And
congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thanks. I appreciate it. And yo, every time people keep coming up to my door and trying to sell stuff like solar energy or like pure fire or stuff, like, why they always ask, like, are you the homeowner? Like, that's a turnoff to me. Like, don't come there and ask me, are you a homeowner or anything? Are you the owner of this home? Like, I'm obviously here. Like, that's an automatic no. Like, y'all should first come up to the door. You see, it's a new neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate explaining that. Like, I'm young. I'm 32. Like, next time somebody asks you if you're the homeowner, I'm going to say, nah. Like, my dad is not here or something. You
that's what I always say, no. Yeah.
I do that all the time.
I think they just don't want to waste their time talking to a person who's renting or doesn't own a home and can't make that decision.
Yeah, I feel you. And then another thing I got before I go, man, I'm a truck driver out here. And, you know, we just moving weight, like, state to state and everything like
Woo!
That. But, man, gas prices is going crazy.
Really? We didn't know.
Yo, and the gas prices is going up. We spending hella bread at the gas pump, and they not throwing us any more bread on the load. It's like it's getting lower. Like, they making a stock. Like, I don't know what we got to do. Like, they know what's going on, and now prices is getting lower for us, so it's hard for us to eat out here, man. So any big companies is listening to this, man, like, take care of us out here, man, because our pockets is really hurting right now, you feel me?
No, that's what inflation is, brother.
You know what I did see, though? I seen, and I don't know if this is going to change the game in the next couple of years, but I see Tesla is starting to make trucks. We're electric trucks.
That's not a good game for us, man, because, like, that's mad expensive, and only companies going to be able to afford that. And, people that really got it out the mud and started with, you know, one truck up to 20, you know, we ain't going to be able to change out all this gas and diesel, you know.
Yep.
It's serious, man. Like, it's scary because, like, they about to have trucks driving themselves. And what we going to do, like?
Yeah, that's why I understand when people say things like that. They be like, oh, you know, Tesla's coming out with an electric car. That stuff's going to cost money.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it does. You're going to have to be able to afford the electric trucks and the electric cars and everything else.
But in time, those trucks, I think, will be, maybe a better situation because you don't have to put as much gas, you know?
But you still got to be able to afford it. So the only people that's going to be able to afford it is the companies. And like he said just now, they're going to have these self-driving trucks. They're not even going to need the drivers anymore.
I can't see not having anybody in the truck, though. That's like a lot of the trains and things like that can drive themselves, but you still want somebody in case of anything.
Shit. You must not know these corporations. Mm. If they get as much... Never mind. All I'm saying is manual labor has been proven that it's not absolutely necessary since the pandemic. And if people can go automated, they will go automated. Andrew Yang been warning about that for the longest. Andrew Yang was like, you need to build a wall around Silicon Valley. He's like, y'all worried about the Mexicans. Y'all need to worry about the robots.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, and Jesse Smollett is out of jail. For now, we'll tell you what happened.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, while Jesse Smollett was in jail, he was fasting and he's taking Lent very seriously this year. He gave up food and they said he's planning to stick by this for nearly 5 more weeks. It's already 2 weeks into the fast. So he's planning to do that until Lent ends on April 17th and he's taking things one day at a time.
Now he was in jail for 2 weeks already?
Well, I think he started before that. And
it was like a week.
Yeah, and then he's been doing it for 2 weeks. So when Lent started, and then he's planning to do it for 5 more weeks.
How'd he get out?
Now, we're about to get to that now. So he was ordered to be released from jail on bond until his appeal is decided. So his legal team was able to get him released from jail. And that is just on bond, by the way. So this is all for him trying to appeal this disorderly conduct conviction for lying to police about this alleged hate crime. He had been sentenced on March 10th to 150 days in jail and required to pay a $25,000 fine and $120,000 in restitution to the city of Chicago. Here is his attorney.
The First District Appellate Court in Illinois, in Chicago, just released an order ordering that Jesse Smollett should be released from jail immediately. Now, this appeal that we filed, the basis of our appeal was very simple. We told the appellate court that pending the appeal, Jussie ought to be released because, quite frankly, I'm going to put it in layman's terms and not legal talk, the case sucks, the case is bogus against him, and they released him. And that says a lot about what the appellate court thinks of this case.
Yeah, I feel, you know, they're really just messing with Jussie the way they feel he messed with them, right? Like, that's all this is. They feel you wasted our time, ran us all around. Now we're going to do the same to you. And they're going to continue to be on whatever Jussie's on. They can do this all day.
All right. Now, Rihanna has been making some appearances with her belly for her Fenty Beauty line. And now in a new interview, she is talking about how she plans to be as a mother. She's in her third trimester now. And she told Elle magazine, "You talk about my kids, it's over." And she said that
big root energy.
She
big
was
voodoo.
Inspired after stupid. One of the Real Housewives mother told her, and that was Teresa, by the way, Judice, that's your friend, Envy.
Uh-huh.
She said she does not play about her kids. She said she will flatten you about those kids. And that resonates with me a lot because I feel like that's the type of mom I'm going to be psycho about it. And so right now, she said some of the best advice she's gotten about motherhood was to focus on getting sleep now because she'll get very little of it when the baby arrives.
All right, play with Rihanna kid if you want to. There'll be an oxtail bone with your name on it buried in Barbados somewhere.
All right, and Lil Nas X is back on Twitter with a series of tweets. And one thing that he wants to know is which of his two unreleased tracks are you more excited about? Which one should he drop first? One of them is called Late to the Party featuring YoungBoy. And another is called Down South Hoes featuring Saucy Santana. And he said, "We finna F the summer up." Which one y'all want to hear first?
I didn't even notice Lil Nas X disappeared. That's so wild. Because, you know, at one point, Lil Nas X's name was in the headlines every single day. And then it just went away. I didn't even think about it.
He said, "Okay, I'll be honest. I haven't been posting online because I got a BBL."
I respect it. Take time to hear
him. Trolling us.
You say that until you walk in with a fat ass. And you be like, "Damn, Lil Nas."
What else?
What's wrong with you, man?
And people be taking time to heal from them BBLs for real. I had a friend who did it.
We all do.
What's his name?
Now, Kelly Rowland has gotten emotional as she was talking about reuniting with her estranged father after 30 years. And so they had their first public appearance together as they discussed reconnecting and what happened with all of that. And here is what she had to say about her dad, you know, saying, "I love you."
"It was, hold up. It was necessary to the little girl in me that needed to hear that. It was necessary to hear it from a man. It was necessary to hear it from my father." Mm-hmm. That is the base and the foundation of it psychologically. So when I'm talking to therapists and I'm asking them about this, and it all runs back to the abandonment issue. Once you like kind of tackle your way through that, you're helping to navigate your way through trying to have functional as possible relationships.
Dropping the clues, bouncer Kelly Rowland and her father, man.
Also on the Today Show, her dad was saying that, "I wanted to tell Kelly that I love her and that I never gave her up." Imagine that, 30 years being estranged. You know, he would go to her shows and she would not let him backstage and all of that. Now, here's what she had to say about first meeting her dad.
"It wasn't until I had Titan, my first, and I said, I want to meet him. And by the way, this was after I lost my mother, because I lost my mother 3 weeks after Titan was born. So at that time, I think I still had these feelings of like, oh my God, I have no parents. And it was like, no, you do, you have one left. Next thing I knew, I was at a hotel in Atlanta and I was on my way to walk in to meet him. Before I walked in, I had all these thoughts of what I was gonna say. I had all these questions lined up. And as soon as I saw his face, it was a blank."
Wow. Mm-mm. I love it, man. Salute to all the girl dads out there, man. Big girl dad energy pouring into yours. Fathers are important because the love you get from a father can really make or break a person, male or female. So I'm glad Kelly got that.
No, that's good. And you know what? You think about it, right? You haven't seen your father in so long. The fact that she was big enough to say, you know what? I'm willing to put my ego aside and meet him and have a conversation.
Well,
because I don't know if I could be there.
She said it was Jay-Z who gave her a key piece of advice, which led to her meeting her dad in 2018. He said, "Love is all about risk. You got to decide if you're going to jump." And so she said she decided to jump. But imagine, he was saying he would try to go visit her backstage while they were on tour. But she specifically told security to ban her father. And he said it was hurtful for him to be turned away by security at her concerts when she was in Destiny's Child.
Well, I mean, you know, that was her mindset at the time. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what, you know, she knew, or what she thought she knew.
Correct.
So can't be mad at that.
All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. All right. We got front page news. I was thinking about something. You remember?
I don't like when you think.
Side note. Remember when we were in Houston and Drake was in Houston? It was like 20 bodyguards looking to beat up Charlamagne.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that club?
Charlamagne wasn't there.
No, so. Charlamagne wasn't there. I was in that club this weekend and it just made me think of that. We were in Houston. This is when Drake and Charlamagne
what
were going
back and
forth.
What does Kelly Rowland reconnecting with her thank dad you, have to do with this?
Nothing. Thank you, I just thought about thank it right
you.
Now. And
have
I was
you guys seen Khloe Kardashian's hands?
Thank you. Thank you. I just I just told you I don't like when you think. That had nothing to do with nothing. Are we about to play a Drake record or something?
No.
So you just randomly thinking about Drake?
Nothing to do.
You just randomly thinking about Drake?
It just made me chuckle.
We weren't talking about Houston.
Nothing. It just made me chuckle.
Like, now Kelly's Houston adjacent. Ain't Kelly from Houston? No.
No.
Ain't she? I don't know. Yeah. Either way, that was random.
Yeah, it just made me think of it. Just
this guy. That's
it. I don't know what your train of thought is. It's so weird.
I don't either.
It's like vomiting.
I don't even think it's a train.
You would
it's
like
a form
train.
Of transportation.
You know what I just thought of when
train.
You said train?
The 20 guys that came up to Indy in Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Led by Drake?
It made me chuckle.
Okay.
It just made me chuckle. Just something popped up in my mind.
All right.
Anyway, front page news next. What are we talking about?
We're going to talk about a California bill that would allow parents to sue social media companies for their kids being addicted.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code ENVY for a special offer when you sign up. That's code ENVY, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. So funny, man.
Oh, man. This is such a stupid-ass radio show.
Yo, you stupid.
Like, right before the break, all you hear is ENVY go, allergic to Popeyes. Him and our producer had a whole conversation about her being allergic to Popeyes.
No, you made that up. You said she went on a date to Popeyes, and she said she's allergic to Popeyes.
With Lil Boosie. Yeah. I don't know. Why we just be randomly
just
talking.
Just randomly talking. That's just, you know, that's whatever. Let's get some front page news.
Allergic to Popeyes. What kind of nigger are you? Huh?
Hello?
It's your go-ye.
Oh, you didn't
tag
you
in.
All right.
Well, a California bill would let parents sue social media companies for their kids getting addicted. It's called the Social Media Platform Duty to Children Act that has been introduced and has advanced in the state assembly. And they said some of these companies do indeed intentionally design features in their apps that they know children are using that cause the children to use it more and more and more and exhibit signs of addiction. So the question to me becomes, who should pay the social cost of this? Should it be borne by the schools and the parents and the kids, or should it be borne in part by the companies that profited from creating these products?
Now, I feel like I've seen this before. I feel like this happened to the tobacco industry at one point.
Because you can't do that.
No. I think I actually believe that's people that's won this lawsuit because they say they designed cigarettes with enough nicotine to create and sustain addiction. It's the same thing with these social media sites. They do create them for people to be addicted to them.
So now, they said this bill would first obligate social media companies to not addict child users. And then they said damages could include $1,000 or more per child in a class action suit, or as much as $25,000 per child per year in a civil penalty. But they said it would be a safe harbor provision that would protect responsible social media platforms from being penalized if they took basic steps to avoid addicting children. So,
because if I remember correctly, because you know I don't remember much, they said that the tobacco companies were lying about the nicotine addiction. So I don't know about the social media sites. The social media sites saying, hey, nobody can get addicted to this, when the reality is they know they create these platforms with features for people to be addicted.
Right. And some I do see, like, they do try to take some steps to protect and make sure that, to help try to avoid addicting children. Obviously, you can't 100% cure that, but you can do certain things, you know, like restricting the time, and parents can oversee that and make sure it shuts off at a certain time or certain hours.
When you talk cigarettes, you know, there's stuff in cigarettes that make it addictive, right? The nicotine. If you talk liquor.
But they used to say it didn't, though. That's the point.
Well, that was a lie. But what's in social media that makes it addictive? It's not
a lot of different things.
It's nothing that you. It's not like it's a chemical imbalance or something that you need, like you fiend for. It's not like
no,
the same
it does. I can't break it down as eloquently as some of these people who, you know, study these things for a living. But no, there's a lot of different things on social media platforms that keep people addicted. That's what they want. They want your time and your attention. They want you to spend as much time on these apps as possible.
Right. Now, if you're going to be in the metaverse for all day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You should watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. I think that's what it was called.
And remember, they had the Instagram Kids that they were planning to do, that spinoff app. and they paused that app for now. So, you know, it
I mean, I know they do certain things to make it more attractive and make kids want to watch it more, but addictive where you have to have it like nicotine, don't know if that's
you're
the
out
same.
Of your
I mean,
mind.
People have been
yes.
saying that social media is addictive.
You can
right?
see it. You should read Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. We had Cal up here before, and you should watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. It breaks it all the way down.
All right, now, as we're also talking about these rising gas prices, Lyft has detailed a fuel surcharge of 55 cents to each ride given by drivers. That is going to offset surging gasoline prices. They're going to be following DoorDash and Uber, who also announced surcharges this week, and they did release the details of their plan. This will be effective beginning next week. All of the money will go directly to the drivers. So the surcharge is not applicable in New York City because there's already a 5.3% increase in the minimum earning standard for drivers there. So
now, should I have to pay for your gas? Should I have to pay for the Uber driver's gas?
Yes. Yeah, that's how he makes his money.
Jesus
if
Christ.
He has to pay for more higher for gas.
Yeah, they got to pass that on to you.
Okay, so based off the miles that I'm riding.
Correct.
That's how much gas I should pay.
That's probably what it is.
I would hope so.
It is, based off your
Because I don't want to have to pay, like, you know. Imagine I get a $50 surcharge or something crazy, and I'm only going
Well, they said
five
it's at 55 cents each ride, so that's not that's too good. Crazy. I All think right. that's reasonable.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, well, that is your front page news.
But everything's going to be rising based on the gas prices.
Everything?
Uber Eats already is charging more so when you get...
Food prices are going to go up. Yes, everything. Yo, you a horny king.
Grand Rising King.
Yo, you know what?
What is going
Grand
on
Grand Rising King.
All right, well...
Yeah.
Joining us next.
Don't try to mispronounce this name.
Ajune Ellis. She will be joining us. She was in King Richard. She was the actress that played Venus and Serena's mom.
I thought it was Orisine.
Ajune Ellis, yeah.
Okay.
She is playing Orisine, which is Venus and Serena's mom in King Richard. So we'll talk to
her
next.
Did an amazing job.
She sure did. And it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest joining us this morning.
Yes, indeed.
We have Ajune Ellis. Welcome. Did I say it right?
You said it all right.
Oh, good, good, good.
All right.
I was nervous.
Now she
good morning. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored.
All right. That's what I want.
And second
hear.
Of all, congratulations on all the accolades. That is amazing.
Well, tell people who she is and what she plays so they know.
Oh, Lord.
She played Venus and Serena's mom in King Richard.
Yes, I did.
I bet you can't pronounce that name.
What?
Venus and Serena's mother.
No, I'm not. Oh, no.
Or a scene. Just how it looks, right?
Yeah, or a scene.
Well, let me tell you, Envy just saw the movie on the plane because now it's on the planes to watch it. But I watched it on HBO Max, and it came out in HBO Max and in theaters simultaneously. Yeah. Right?
I didn't know it was on planes, but I heard from our director, Ronaldo Marcus Green, that he saw a woman watch it on the plane. And that he watched her reaction while he was, you know, on the plane. And she was crying and everything. And
so it was a woman, it wasn't me?
Emmy was definitely crying.
With a mask on, I've been trying to wipe my tears. That movie was amazing. You played a great role. It was very believable.
Thank you.
And I think what made me tear so much is just the inspiration of where they came from.
Yeah.
And everything they had to overcome. And everything that the mom or you had to overcome in the movie. It was a really great movie.
Like the scene with the neighbor across the street. I think that was a really powerful scene. If you can just talk about that for a second.
That actually happened. A neighbor called Child Protective Services on the Williams family.
Mm-mm-mm.
And they wanted to take their kids away from them because they felt that they were working them too hard. They did what they had to do. I mean, the family was essentially trying to destroy their family. And so in that scene, I had to go over there and talk to her. Just, you know. Pull a coattail a little bit.
Sure did.
How nerve-wracking and difficult is it to play a real-life character?
You know what? For me, honest to God, it's a pleasure for me. It's a pleasure for me. Because I these women that I've been playing a lot of real-life characters lately. Mm-hmm. And these women that I've been playing, I just see them as heroes of mine. I think Miss Orsine is a hero. You know, I play Sharon Salam, and when they see us, these women are heroes to me. So I get the chance to correct history, and the history reflects them as being, you know, it doesn't reflect them at all, you know.
Yeah.
So I get to stand in the gap of that. So I love it. And I, you know, to me, it people are like, oh, do you feel like it's a burden? I'm like, nah, it's not a burden to me. It's my joy. What's not fun is playing some stuff I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So have you done that? Played stuff all that you don't
time.
Believe in?
All the time, you know, because, you know, acting, as Halle Berry so brilliantly said, is a vocation rather than an avocation. So sometimes you have jobs that you got to do because you got to pay the rent, got to pay the mortgage.
It's a job.
Yeah, it's a job.
I was going to say, let's start from the beginning when they casted you for this movie. So break that down, how it happened, who you had to read for, because I know Will Smith was one of the producers on there. So break down how that happened and your fight for that, if there was one.
Yes, it was a fight. It was a fight, and I embrace fights. You know, they had, I'm sure, some more, you know, famous people on the list that they wanted to go for. But when I knew that was the case, I didn't care. You know, sometimes you know something
is for you.
It's for me. Yeah. Yes, that's what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wasn't on their radar in that sense. You know, it was just sent to me by my agent and just a look at this. And I was like, okay. Yeah, they're thinking about this person. I think, I'm sure you got all the names that you could, who those women were. And I said, okay, that's cool. And then it opened up. And then so I started out, you know, reading for it. I was in Mississippi and I had my sister read with me. And I went to Atlanta, had my sister read with me on the phone. We sent out tapes that turned into a conversation with Ray Green. And then that turned into going to Los Angeles to meet Will for this chemistry read. And so I was doing Lovecraft Country at the time. And so
classic show. That shouldn't have got canceled. We'll talk about that later.
I agree. and so I had to, on the down low on a Saturday morning, fly out to Los Angeles to read with Will.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't change clothes on the plane. So I had to change clothes in the car on the way to Will Smith's house while the driver's asking me, you know, where am I going? Because he knew I was going to somebody's famous's house, but I couldn't tell him. So he's peppering me with questions. Changing clothes in the car, brushing my teeth in the car, spitting out my toothpaste in Will Smith's yard.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Going inside.
Does he know that now? Does he know that?
He knows it now.
Okay. Orsine would have did the same thing. By
Come
the
on.
Okay.
Then I read with him at his fantastic estate, and then he fed me, which is what Will Smith does. He feeds you. And then they didn't tell me whether I had the part or not. And then I went home, back to Atlanta, and a week later at Thanksgiving, they told me I had the job.
Can we I want to tap into the spiritual aspect of that. I want to tap into the discernment that tells you this is your role. Because I read in the LA Times how you wanted the role so badly and you fought for it. And now to see you nominated for, you know, Best Supporting Actress, clearly you were right. But what did that discernment feel like? What was God saying to you that let you know this is mine?
Well, I think it was because I wasn't worried when I knew that they wanted other people, that they were thinking about other people. I just didn't worry about it, you know? And I'm not, you know, I'm not this person who just, who I'm not spiritually tapped in that way. You know, I hear people say things when God has something for you, it's for you. It's not that I was thinking in that way. It just was, I was not worried. I knew that if I could fight for this, if given a shot, I knew I would have a chance. I knew that. And I think it's because I love the Williams family so much. Venus and Serena are heroes of mine on and off the court. And I felt like I could speak to that and be honest and real about it. So if you let me in the room, I felt I'd be okay about it. So, but then, you know, you have to fight for it. But then when you get the job, the fight doesn't stop. The fight doesn't stop. So I knew I was up to it. I knew I was up for it.
When did you meet the family and really get to know the behind the scenes of a person? Because, you know, it's stuff that you see in the script, but then you have to know the person and you got to get the stories and this. So when did that happen and how was that?
Right. Well, I didn't get to meet Miss Orsine. And Venus and Serena came to set a couple times, once when I was there and then another time, but I wasn't there. I missed them. But yeah, I didn't get to do that. What they did was they did these recordings of Miss Orsine. And they just let her talk about her life. And this was it's so funny, like, and she just talked. You know what I'm saying? And what was so great about it is it was the first time she could speak for herself. Do you know what I mean? Because Mr. Richard sort of took that space of being the spokesperson for the family, and no one really asked her. There are only a couple of interviews where Miss Orsine talks at all. But in these recordings they did of her, she got to talk about her childhood. She got to talk about how she sees sports, tennis, you know, and I listened to that, and that was my Bible. That was my audiobook every day.
All right, we have more with Anjanou Ellis when we come back. Of course, she was the mom in King Richard. Yeah, she played Venus and Serena's mom in King Richard. So we'll talk to her some more when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Anjanou Ellis. She's an actress. She played Serena and Venus's mom in King Richard. Charlamagne?
You know, you touched on it a little bit, and you said it's because they didn't ask, you know, Miss Orsine, but, you know, she was clearly there helping, you know, with the development of the young ladies. Why do you think she didn't get as much credit as Mr. Richard?
Well, you know, here's the thing. She wasn't helping. She was the coach. She was the coach. You know, and I think that was the surprise of me for this, is that finding out that he was a spokesperson, yes, a salesman or whatever, but she was their coach. When they were on the court, it was her who was out there coaching them, and she is more responsible for the play of Serena, which is very interesting, you know? And
they showed that a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and people don't know that. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, history is written by men. The history of women a lot of times is written by men. And here's the thing, Miss Orsine is not interested in that. You know, she's not interested in being in the limelight. She just wanted her girls to be excellent.
Right.
And so that's what she wanted. She knew that Mr. Richard had to do that, and she was good. She was good with that.
Yeah. So they were kind of like a perfect yin and the yang, really.
Yeah.
Why not show that dynamic then? I don't know.
What'd you want to see?
No. I'm just saying if she helped with the actual development of the play and he was more the spokesperson, it's kind of like a, for hip hop terms, like a Jay-Z Dame Dash.
Because there was that scene where you were coaching Serena. He didn't even know she was competing.
Yeah.
And so then he found out and she was amazing and he didn't even realize how great she was because you were doing that kind of more on the side while he was focused on Venus.
Yeah. I think, though, you know, there was another scene that didn't make the film because the film is 2.5 hours long.
It didn't seem that long.
It didn't feel like it. I tell you that.
Somebody asked me about that earlier and I was like, it didn't seem that long.
Yeah. So there was another scene. There was a couple more things that were in there that didn't make it. But I think what they did was that they showed me on the court with her, you know, training her.
I thought they did show that. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe one time he took Venus and you and the daughter went to the court to practice. They didn't show that? I thought they showed that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see the whole film. Oh, I haven't seen the whole film.
They did show that.
Yeah. You haven't seen the whole film?
No,
why
I did. Because I'm scared.
No, they showed the dad.
Wait, hold on. They did show that.
They did.
You're scared to see the whole film?
Yeah, I am. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about it.
Why?
Because I was there. I did it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I know what I wanted. And so if it doesn't meet that, I'll be too affected by it. And I don't want the experience that has been so great. I don't want it to be sullied by my own self-critique.
What was the toughest part of to shoot for you? The most difficult part, if there was any?
It wasn't. It wasn't hard. You know, it was fun. I mean, I got to go to work doing something I really loved. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's not hard for me. I hear people ask questions like, how do you decompress? You know what I'm saying?
Some people can.
Listen, I decompress from what though? I'm going to work. I'm getting paid to do something I love mm-hmm. to do. I'm getting paid to tell Miss Orsine Price's story. Mm-hmm. This woman, this titan of tennis that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do in my life, you know? Because I feel like that's the kind of work that I do when I'm not acting. Is try to push stories about Black women, push narratives, push history about Black people. And so to get paid to do that on film, what am I decompressing from? Mm-hmm.
So what are stories that are important to you to tell right now?
Well, you know, I'm trying to tell Miss Fannie Lou Hamer's story. And I'm trying to tell Miss Fannie Lou Hamer's story. And I'm also trying to tell Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer's story.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Is that almost getting in the works? Is that going to happen?
We hope so. We did a short. Mm-hmm. I did a short with this director, Christine Swanson, who directed the Clark Sisters movie I did a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's out on, it's on YouTube. Anybody can see that now. But we're trying to develop, I've already written it. So we're just trying to get it produced.
I love it.
I was going to ask with King Richard, how long did it take to film that? Because y'all shot it during COVID.
So. Yeah. I read you say you thought you didn't think the movie would ever get finished.
No, of course not. We started shooting in January of 2020. We didn't finish until December of 2020. Because we shot from January to March, and then the world happened. And then we stopped shooting, and then we came back in September, and we finished in December. It was a miracle.
That's long. I mean, I don't know nothing about movies, so that's a long time.
That's a long-ass time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would be the normal shoot time for a film like that?
3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
We're going to start in January. We had rehearsals. We're going to shoot for 3 months. We would have been done in early May.
Wow.
And yeah. I remember Will Smith gave everybody bonuses. Because of how the movie...
Why you look like that?
Go ahead. Ask your question.
No, I mean, it seemed like the right thing to do just because of how the movie was rolled out.
I think you should ask the question. Did Will Smith give everybody bonuses?
No, he did. He did. But I think what's important to say about that, and I think it's important that I say this, mm-hmm. is that, you know, as I said, after you get the job, the fight is not over. You have to fight to
be
paid.
For equal pay, yeah.
And that kind of thing. And, you know, I did that job and I'm thankful for it. But, you know, I could have gotten paid better.
I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And so I told him this. Mm-hmm. And he did something about it. And as a result of his responding to the letter that I wrote to him, not only did he address that with pay, increasing my pay, but the other actors in the movie also got their pay increased, which is the proof of when Black women do well, everybody does well.
See, that's not how the story was told.
And that's a better story. And the reason it's a better story is because we can't course correct any of this stuff if we don't have these conversations. You had a conversation with him. He did something about it. That's a better story than I gave everybody bonuses.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, that's how he wants to, you know, frame it. And that's his world. But I think it's important that, first of all, people know who this man is and what he did. And first of all, and also that, you know, Black women still have to fight to get paid equally.
I was going to say this, though.
Fairly.
And not taking anything from you. Mm-hmm. But you said that, you know, some of the cast, you know, didn't get paid as they should. And they got bonuses maybe because some people would say, well, isn't that the agent's job to fight for your salary or what you get paid for? Negotiating?
Well, I think I can only what happened with the other people in the cast, mm-hmm. that's their story. Mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself. And so speaking for myself, you know, whether your agent, whoever your agent is, you know, they can fight for having the best thing for you. But if you are working in a, within a system that doesn't believe that the work of Black women is as important as the work of white men, mm-hmm. no matter how much they fight, it doesn't matter because that's still a reality. Mm-hmm. And there's not a Black woman in the world who has had my path, essentially, who doesn't have that story.
Not even the best, like Viola Davis.
Absolutely.
Like, I've heard her say that.
Absolutely. And we gotta keep saying it until mm-hmm. until it's made right.
All right, we have more with Anjanue Ellis when we come back. Of course, she was the mom in King Richard. Yeah, she played Venus and Serena's mom in King Richard. So we'll talk to her some more when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Anjanue Ellis. She's an actress. She played Serena and Venus's mom in King Richard. Charlamagne?
How have opportunities for Black women evolved over the years in Hollywood?
I think now the conversation should be not just about representation, but because we see us all everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how do we see us? Mm-hmm. You know, in what ways do we see us? It's mm-hmm. not enough to have a brown, black and brown face, although I like seeing it. You know, it's like, what kind of stories do we get to tell? You know, even in this fight for, you know, to tell Mrs. Hamer's story, you know, having to convince someone that, you know, that Mrs. Hamer, first of all, that she matters,
yes. mm-hmm.
that she's important, that people would be entertained seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I've written is not in the way that I've written it is not in a conventional way. So I have to get producers to trust that I can do it.
Yeah. And I was thinking about also the Critics' Choice Awards with Jane Campion, the director of The Power of the Dog, and what she had to say in her speech about yeah. Venus and Serena Williams and mm-hmm. basically like saying, oh, they didn't have to play against the guys, whatever, like I did.
Yeah.
And then she later did have to apologize. But I was like, why would you even say something like that? Like during a time when you're getting your award and it was like a put down. And I just didn't understand that. But she did come back and apologize. What were your thoughts when you heard that as somebody who is connected to Venus and Serena?
Well, you know, Toni Morrison has this really great quote where she talks about how, like, when black people are thrust into these conversations about race, that it really is a distraction, mm-hmm. you know, and distracting meaning that, you know, our movie, King Richard, Venus and Serena, that gets put on the side, and now we're having a conversation about something Miss Campion said.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
You know what I yeah. mean? It's a distraction. Like, what we should be doing is talking about King Richard,
mm-hmm.
Will Smith, and his incredible performance, and he swept every award. You know what I mean? But now we have to give space to something Miss Campion said. And you know, even though we're critiquing Miss Campion, what we're doing is we're centering her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not interested in centering her. I'm interested in how we critique race in a way that decenters somebody said at an award show, you know. And then here's the thing, she has to answer for her.
Right.
It's not for me to answer for her on her time. You know what I mean?
That's real.
On her time.
You remember your first role, your first movie role that you got?
My first movie role.
Or TV role, either or.
Okay, so my first TV role was New York Undercover.
New York Undercover, right? Yep. Now, how was that? Malik Yoba in the gang.
Yes. With Terrence Howard, we played like this Bonnie and Clyde story. I shot a gun, and I think we died.
You look back at that and just die laughing.
Man, I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You know,
that was
my
a big show.
First
New York
job.
Undercover was.
Yes,
that's a great
right.
first job.
It is.
You from Mississippi and never shot a gun?
I lied, didn't I?
That's what I'm saying. She's like, come on. I'm from South Carolina. I know you did some hunting or something.
I lied. I lied. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot
about that
part. Now, I saw, is it true that you were so nervous the morning of the Oscar nomination that you turned your phone off? Because you didn't want to let people down if you didn't get nominated?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why'd you put that kind of pressure on yourself? Like,
oh, come on. You know, you don't want to let people down because you got mm-hmm. people that are just like already, I'm going to cry if you don't get nominated. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, mm-hmm. that's not in my hands. I don't have anything to do with that.
How many messages did you have when you turned the phone on?
Well, I think my phone was just tripping, so I had about 250 messages.
Sheesh.
But some of them were double messages,
okay.
you know.
Because they were like, why is it green? That's not going through.
Right? Yeah. So it's crazy.
With that said, are you going to be disappointed? Of course you would be, but how disappointed would you be if you didn't win?
I'll be all right.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
It's on the 27th. The 28th hopefully will come. And life goes on. You know, life goes on.
You already won. Right?
That's how I feel, mm-hmm. Angela. I really feel that way. Because I never, let me tell you something. There's an Oscar nomination, and there's also being on The Breakfast Club. And I'm telling you, they're like right here mm-hmm. for me.
Oh, wow.
For real. Honestly, and I mean that. I'm not blowing smoke up you. You know, I really mean that. You know, because I think what I love what you guys are doing, whether you realize it or not, is that you are pushing culture. You're pushing culture with these conversations that you're forcing us to have in this, you know, entertaining way. You have Michael Eric Dyson on your show.
Yeah.
You know, chopping it up. You know what
love
I mean?
Love that brother.
Yeah. Who was the sister that she was running for Congress in from Ohio?
Nina Turner.
Yes,
Nina Turner.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy to be here. So yes, I feel like I'm good.
One. That's why I was glad to see you at the AFCAS.
Oh, thank
you. Because there's so many people who don't show up for award shows that are for us.
Oh, you hosted it.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I just always think that's so strange. If this award show is for us and it's celebrating us. Yeah, I'm good to see you at the Oscars. Good to see you at the SAG Awards.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Why don't you come to the AFCAS? So it was good to see you there.
Yeah, I was happy to be there.
Why do you think that's important to show up to those events?
Well, you know, I love that expression. Sometimes it be your own people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the context is usually negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. To me, it's positive. Because mm-hmm. sometimes it be your own people that prop you up.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And that's how I grew up. I grew up with people that looked like me propping me up. So that's where I want to be.
Like the NAACP Image Awards, the Soul Train Awards, all of those things are, first of all, the most fun you'll have in an award show.
Come on now.
Anyway.
Now, yes. I effed with Lovecraft Country heavy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay.
And I don't know anybody from the show, so you're the only person I can ask this question. Why the hell did they cancel Lovecraft Country?
Listen, I don't know.
Then y'all got nominated for a million, what was it, Emmys?
I know. Like the week after or
something
like that.
The week after, like I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
They didn't give y'all no reasoning, nothing?
Yeah, did they call you back and be like, let's rethink this?
No, they did not.
Damn.
They did not. They were like, bye.
How were you when you got the call, like, it's not coming back? You weren't shocked?
I was completely shocked because we were being told that they were writing it and all this good stuff. And then I just got this random call saying that it wasn't going to come back at all. Yeah.
That's crazy.
If you had to speculate, what do you think happened?
If I had to speculate, I don't know. I just think that I think Lovecraft Country was a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to have these courageous people who want to stay behind that wild ride. You know, I just think that, you know, the kind of storytelling that our white male counterparts get to do, we don't get to do that kind of level of, you know, breadth of imagination. We just still don't get to do that kind of stuff. You know, you have someone like Barry Jenkins who pushes the envelope, you know, in the way that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Misha Green did that with Lovecraft Country. And, you know, she needed to continue to be supported in that way. And that didn't happen.
That makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, me too.
You're also in the new series, 61st Street.
Yes, I am.
All right. So when does that start?
I think in April.
Okay, April. Mm-hmm. And so that's based in Chicago?
It is. Uh-huh.
So what's your role on there so we know?
I play a woman who's running for office. I have a son who has Asperger's. And I play Courtney B. Vance's wife mm-hmm. again.
Wow.
I date him in that country. He can't get rid of me.
God, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, if your mother could see you now.
That's right.
How about that?
Absolutely. Congratulations on everything.
Yeah, and we're so honored that you took some time to come up to see us.
Oh,
you might feel
you
like it's a big
about?
Deal, but it's a really big deal for us to have you here.
Oh, my Absolutely. God. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And y'all keep up what y'all are doing because I appreciate it.
And got to watch the movie, too. It's amazing. You did a great job. You got to see yourself in it.
Oh, well, I appreciate it.
You need like a watch party or something.
How you know you even Oscar worthy?
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm Breakfast Club worthy.
There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
How about that?
Anjanae Ellis.
Not the same.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kim Kardashian was on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday, and she's talking all about her new relationship with Pete Davidson. You know, she hasn't dated in 10 years, she said, like, since before Instagram. So she's still learning how to do things, but she did decide to choose happiness.
I mean, I think it's just in life, like, no matter what it is, I just think I encourage my friends and the people that I love just to be happy, and I went for it. I was like, you know what? I'm in my 40s, like, Like, just go for it. Find your happiness. Yeah. And, like, I went for it, and I took my time, and I found it, and it feels so good, and I want to hold on to that forever.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's why Instagram took Kanye's, took his Instagram away.
Wow.
All right. Kanye, we're going to get into that in a second.
Oh, he definitely would have bugged out.
Now, she also talked about, people were saying there was this tattoo of Kim's name on Pete's chest when that picture was posted of him laying in the bed. And here's what Kim Kardashian had to say about that. It's not actually a tattoo.
When you say branding, so like literally like an iron thing went onto his body to brand Kim.
Yes. I just think he was like, I want something that's there that I can't, you know, get rid of my tattoos, because he's in the process of getting rid of his arm tats and his neck tat. So he's like, I don't want to be able to get rid of it or to cover it up. And I just wanted it like there as like a scar.
Wow. Well, it's faster too than just sitting for a tattoo just to get branded.
It's so cute, guys.
It is cute. It's adorable.
Adorable.
Yeah, Instagram might need to take Kanye's IG for 48 hours.
That's serious, serious. That ain't just, we just having fun. That's serious, serious.
Well, we've seen people get tattooed, and but not necessarily branded with someone's name, unless they're in a fraternity. But in addition to that, he has other tattoos, by the way, several of them. Here's what she had to say.
Okay, first tattoo we got, I was like, oh, so cute. Thank you. Oh, my God. So, you know, second, whatever. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. But, like, that's what tattoo people do, right? Like, they get tattoos of what's going on in their life. And
so he has three tattoos of you? Well, it sounds like this is like the third. So the first tattoo was, you said, kind of cute. So
yeah,
is it your name or is it like a little?
The branding is my name.
Right.
The other ones are like cutesy things. I think my favorite one, it says here, it says my girl is a lawyer. And that one's really cute.
Wow. Oh, they about to get married.
Yeah.
Okay, Instagram, make
She has to get branded too.
And no, then Instagram, make it 72 hours.
They about to get married.
Might as well just do it.
There's a lot of people out there with tattoos that
three tattoos and a Brandon? No, he's about to get
married. Actually know people who have multiple tattoos and, you know. But
they never
this
got
is
married?
What they're... Absolutely not.
Maybe let's just take Kanye's Instagram for a month.
A year.
Maybe.
Well, it's been taken away, and it's suspended for violating bullying and harassment policy.
But
so they
said
he can be hit
though
with even more sanctions if he continues to make posts that violate Instagram's rules.
I'm confused because they left the post up there.
What post did they leave up? I saw some stuff deleted yesterday.
The one with Pete's head, they left.
Oh.
I would think that violates, don't you think?
Depends on who they say he's bullying. They might say he's bullying his ex-wife.
Yeah, so.
Depends on who's getting bullied.
And I saw a lot of people were, went to free Kanye also.
Free him from what?
From Instagram jail, I guess.
Oh, God.
All right, now.
You know, Kanye's going to, his next move is he's going to say he's going to launch his own social media platform.
That's what French Montana said.
Or he's going to help Donald Trump with his, because Donald Trump has a social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
Watch. One of those two things.
All right. Now, Ellen DeGeneres, by the way, since we were just talking about her, gave her staff millions of dollars in bonuses as her show is coming to an end. So the final episode is set to air May 26th. And they said the exact seven-figure sum that will be distributed to staffers was not disclosed, but the source declared it was not even a question for Ellen to cover bonuses. That was very important to her. And they also added that she's been incredibly generous to employees since the show began back in 2003. All right. Mary J. Blige recently spoke out in an interview promoting her new album, Good Morning Gorgeous, about her decision not to have children. She spoke with E's Daily Pop to discuss this, and here's what she had to say.
But do you think you're ever going to get to the day where you're like, damn, I maybe should have done it?
I'm not there yet, so I'm good. I have nieces and nephews forever, and I'm always watching how people are scrambling around for babysitters. I don't want to go through that. I like my freedom. I like being able to get up and go and move and do what I want to do. I don't want to have to tend to someone all the time, you know. Yes. Right now, that's where I'm at, you know. But, you know, I don't think it's done.
Why did he ask that question? What was the context?
I'm not sure. This is just a clip that was circulating from Justin Sylvester.
You know, we haven't always made the best decisions here on The Breakfast Club.
Stop it, man.
Over the years, there's been a lot of things that have been said in this room that, you know, y'all may not have heard. And I remember some years ago, years ago, the Queen, Mary J. Blige, the Queen called into this radio show. She called for something.
Why you gotta go naked?
Somebody in this room asked her, when is she gonna have some babies? Just like that. We gonna have some babies.
It definitely wasn't me.
Wasn't me either. It was not Leonard. Okay? That leads one other person. All right? Okay?
We were a different show 10
years
ago.
And that answer was not, she did not answer as eloquent as she answered just now.
She did not. She, okay? Everybody's evolved.
Said, nigga, that ain't your business. Okay?
I don't know if she brought it up or he brought it up first.
He brought, what you mean?
No, she's talking about in that interview.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking,
I'm talking about us. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
And us, no. We.
No, ain't no matter of fact.
Hopefully have since learned you don't ask. And by the
no
way.
Us. It was a he.
It was a
him.
He.
That was that pronoun over there.
That was 11 years ago. Why you stuck on
that? That man, right?
11 years ago.
So, Mary, when you gonna have the babies? Mary said, "Nigga, that ain't none of your business."
That wasn't the context.
Why do you care if I have the babies? You gonna have them for me?
That
wasn't, you gonna push my ass?
That wasn't the context.
Drop on the clues, mom, from Mary J. Blige. Damn it.
That wasn't the context.
Well, we love you, Mary.
Yes, we do.
That's a decision that's completely up to any woman. Whatever it is that you decide to do, that's on you.
That's very true.
All right. That is your rumor report. What you going to say, Envy?
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just asking Charlamagne who he's giving donkey to.
Four after the hour, Thomas Eugene Colucci needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him. He's from Florida, by the way.
All right. We'll get to that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Have you ever wanted to own a piece of Breakfast Club history? Then this is your chance. Breakfast Club NFTs are almost here, exclusively with one of the Green Platform. If you've been curious about NFTs, this is the perfect way to start your collection. So don't wait. Hit up oneof.com today for more info.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the day. With Charlemagne the God. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all like this.
It's me? Me? Huh. Donkey of the Day for Thursday, March 17th goes to a Spring Hill, Florida man named Thomas Eugene Colucci. Now, what does your Uncle Charla always tell you about the great state of Florida? The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida, and today is no exception. Now, there have been stories like Thomas before. But I have a different perception of these kinds of stories now that it's 2022. Okay, there has been things that have happened in our society that make me give Thomas the credit he deserves for being stupid, but not really, just slightly stupid. See, Thomas is a meth head, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, in fact, in his own words, he is an experienced drug user. Okay, a master of meth, a professional crank connoisseur, a human with a high degree of knowledge of speed. Yes, that is Thomas Eugene Colucci. So imagine his surprise when he went out and purchased some of that cotton candy and that meth didn't hit like it should have, okay? Didn't produce the expected sensation he wanted. Nothing worse than when you go out and buy your drug of choice and it ain't hitting on nothing, man. Well, Thomas did what any savage-ass speed user would do in that situation. He called the police. Yes, 911. We have an emergency, and the emergency is, I ain't tweaking, and I want to tweak. Well, Thomas, maybe you were and didn't know it. Let's go to WFLA News Channel 8 for the report, please.
41-year-old Thomas Colucci called the Hernando County Sheriff's Office Friday night. Authorities say he told deputies he bought meth from a man he met at a bar.
He said, all right, me and my friend are coming over to give it to you. And I heard him laughing in the background.
Colucci told authorities he was a, quote, experienced drug user who, quote, knew what it should feel like.
And when I broke it up, it looked just like it. So I sniffed a little bit. And what I think I got was bath salts.
Colucci then requests an unmarked squad car from the dispatcher.
I don't want anybody to come in the house because okay. I'm really paranoid. These guys are plotting to kill me.
Okay.
We just need an unmarked car so I can show him what he sold me. I really just want to show a police officer what he sold me. I really don't want to get these guys arrested. I just want to come to know that if something happens to me.
Authorities said Colucci handed them two bags of the drug. Field testing confirmed the presence of methamphetamine. Colucci was charged for possession of the drug and two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia.
Thomas said his meth wasn't hitting on nothing. I'm not too sure about that. It sounds like he was tweaking to me. He called the police because he did not want other people to purchase fake meth from the person who sold it to him. He wanted to put the person in trouble for potentially selling dangerous drugs. Listen, all of that sounds absolutely logical to me. Why? Because we live in the era of supervised drug use sites. They have a lot of supervised drug injection sites, okay, which are medically supervised facilities designed to provide a hygienic environment in which people are able to consume illicit recreational drugs and prevent deaths due to drug overdoses. You hear about all of these people dying of fentanyl? Okay, fentanyl overdoses. They have fentanyl test scripts now. You remember we had Dr. Carl Hart up here and we were debating with him. I'm a person who feels like we should spend more money on resources to get folks clean as opposed to creating safe spaces for them to do drugs. But Dr. Carl Hart feels like we can have responsible adult drug usage. I would think calling the police to make sure my drugs are real and to report a drug dealer for potentially selling fake drugs is part of responsible adult drug usage. I read an article a week ago on ABC News about the first official safe injection site here in America, located right in New York City. Okay, local officials are allowing legal drug use to make it less deadly. I know different states do different things, and there is no state like Florida. But is Thomas really wrong for being a responsible adult drug user? Is that even really a term? Because that sounds like an oxymoron to me to have responsible and drug uses in the same sentence. But they have these supervised consumption spaces. Remember about a month ago when they said the Biden administration was giving out crack pipes and the Democrats were so terrible at messaging they couldn't explain what they were actually doing? Well, they were doing what a lot of these safe spaces for drugs were doing. It's called the Harm Reduction Grant Program, and they gave money to support community-based overdose prevention programs, okay, syringe service programs, and other harm reduction services. And part of the funding can be used to purchase supplies such as safe smoking kits, clean crack pipes, and overdose reversal medication. Same thing these safe spaces for drug use are doing at these
you know, sites. People bring their own drugs to the consumption rooms, and this safe space has syringes and alcohol wipes, straws for snorting, other paraphernalia, probably clean crack pipes, and most importantly, crucially, oxygen and opioid overdose reversing drugs. See how easy I explain that, you dumbass Democrats? My God. The moral of the story is this energy, these new facilities y'all are opening all across the country are why people like Thomas feel like they can call the police and let them know it's bad meth in these streets. Okay, now the reason I will give Thomas Donkey a day is because he should know better than to call the police. Okay, the police are there to arrest people for crimes. Until drugs like meth are decriminalized in this country, that's what's going to happen when you call the police. Now, I don't know if supervised consumption spaces exist in Florida. I guess not if the first one was just opened in New York. Duh. But if they did, that's where you should go, Thomas. Okay, not to the police. All right, an experienced meth user like yourself should know not to trust Po-Po. Now, look at you. Okay? This all arrested. All right, charges. All right. Also, because you was a person who decided to snitch as if you wasn't doing something wrong your damn self. Yes, the man sold it to you, but you bought it because you wanted to use it. You're both committing crimes in the eyes of the law. What if he called the police on you for using? Hi, Thomas. Please give Thomas Eugene Colucci the sweet sounds of the Hamiltons.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
Now, should we play a game of guess what race it is, or is it too easy? Meth, Florida.
I think that's easy.
Okay.
Envy, do you think it's easy? Or?
Yeah.
It's too easy.
I still want to play, though.
Not when it's easy.
All right.
All right.
All right, well, thank you for that donkey today. Up next, Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Ye now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. What line you want to go to, Ye?
Let's do line two.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Q.
Where you from?
I'm from the Bronx.
Oh, boy. Go.
Nah, my question is, when talking to your lady, trying to like motivate her. All right, my thing is like using the word worthy. Is it bad using that?
What do you mean by motivate her? Explain to me what's going on.
I'm just trying to like put the fire underneath her feet. Like we got bills and stuff like that. I just need help. So I just trying to be motivating her. But it's like if it's coming from me, or I don't know if it's coming from me, she ain't trying to hear it. So she turned me into the bad person, and then now she want to do be like, yeah, forget this dude or but it's like, yo, I'm just trying to put the fire under you, trying to see your worth, and you like dubbing me.
Well, sometimes people can get really defensive because I think some people can be afraid to put themselves out there and do things in case it doesn't work out. And so that's kind of scary for people, which I understand. And then when it's the people closest to you trying to do that, she might not look at it as motivating. She might look at it as you acting like she's not doing anything great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's kind of exactly what she said. But my thing is, what the thing that I'm talking about is actually happening in our face. So it's like, yo, I'm not making stuff up. We got to do something about this. We got to, like, come on, be ahead of this.
Like, give me an example.
And just bills in general, or just, like, because I'm kind of coming off an injury, so I needed her to take over, like, the crib, but she was just moving slow about it, like, just putting her best foot forward. So I'm trying to push her, and it's like, yo, she's like, yo, I'm just moving at my own time, whatever. I'm like, yo, you can't be doing this when we got all this.
Yeah, everybody doesn't operate the same, but I will say this. When you are trying to, as you put it, motivate somebody, sometimes it could feel like nagging, right? I think it's a good idea to praise the things that they're good at, because a lot of times it's how you say things.
That is true.
So if you can acknowledge the things that she is doing and thank her for those things, I think that helps when you're trying to take it to the next level of, you know, and being grateful, because sometimes people can tend to focus on what you're not doing instead of what you are.
Even when I compliment her on certain things that she is doing, it's like she will forget it, and then later on down the line be like, oh, nah, you don't do this for me, you'll do that. I'm like, yo, you do not remember all of that from last week? Like, what are you talking about? Just to make me the bad guy.
Right. It feels like she's just getting defensive, and maybe it's just the way that you guys are communicating. And so a couple of things here. Either I would try to get somebody to mediate the situation, because it feels like y'all are not on the same level when it comes to how you communicate with each other on the same wavelength. And the other thing I would say is, you know, like I said, people get defensive. So just be careful about how you talk to her. Like, you know, they say don't use the words never and the words always when you're in the middle. Like, you never do this or you always do that. And so I think it's important to focus on the positive, on the way moving forward, and also make sure you're contributing. Don't ask somebody to do the things that you're not doing. And I'm not saying you're doing that, you know, but just be really conscious of having a discussion about what is triggering to her when you guys are doing these things, and what is it that she doesn't like about the way you speak to her. That way you know the best way for you to communicate things.
I tried that before, but it still sometimes don't even work.
And I think that it's also important to talk to somebody when you're not angry at each other, too. Like, not in the midst of an argument. You have to wait till you guys are, you know, maybe having dinner or sitting down and talking about things and setting aside a time to discuss. So it's not when you're both on edge, because then things tend to come out wrong and be received wrong as well.
See, me, those times, like, when we all had dinner or driving around and stuff, she forgets about those conversations. So when I bring it back up, she's like, oh, no, that was never said. Or just, I'm like, yo, we just agreed to this. And now, Jesus.
I know. But, you know, it feels like you're blaming it all on her. And at some point, you got to realize it's both of y'all, too. You know, so and part of it is owning what you're contributing to the problems in how y'all communicate. It's not just her. It's also you. If you can talk about how you can do things better and then let her know, you know, and let her add to that conversation, and for you guys to come to an understanding, sometimes acknowledging your own shortcomings is helpful too.
Alright, cool, that makes sense.
Alright, but I wish you guys the best of luck. I know it can be really frustrating when you keep on going in circles about things.
Yeah, that's a fact. Thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Alright, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
My name is Lissa.
Hey, Lissa, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Jersey.
Okay, what part?
Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Elizabeth. Okay, what's your question for Yee?
So I'm coming out of a 10-year relationship, right? I'm only 26. He's the only boyfriend that I've ever had. And now I'm entering the dating world during COVID. It's very ghetto out here. So I wanted some advice from ye on, like, dating as a woman with, like, very little experience, because that's the only boyfriend I've ever had. So I don't know how to navigate out here.
Okay, well, where are you meeting people that you're dating, or are you not really meeting people?
I'm not really meeting people, honestly.
Okay. Well, I think, and this is always my advice when it comes to dating, whether you're experienced at it or not, is to not put pressure on yourself and look at it as forming new friendships first. Because anybody that you date is going to be your friend before anything. And so even if it doesn't work out and it doesn't turn out to be somebody romantically that you would be interested in, at least you can have found a friend. And that might lead to anything. And I also feel like letting people who you're cool with know, hey, just so you know, I'm single and I'm available. So if you have anybody that you think would be good, you know, let me know. And moving around and going outside. You're not going to just meet somebody in the house unless you're online dating and, and that's how you're focused. Are you better at online dating or meeting people face to face?
I honestly don't even know, because I'm the type of person, I respond to text messages in 3 business days. So that doesn't really work with online dating. And my friends, looking at the type of dudes that they talk to, it's like I can't really ask my friends for, you know.
Right. You don't trust them.
Do you know anybody? Right.
You know, I think it's also good to put yourself in certain situations where there's going to be guys around. And sometimes that might mean doing things alone. And so if there's like a, you know, after work type of situation or certain places where you can go where you know people will be headed to that you're interested in, or even doing some type of volunteer work or taking a class or things like that where people who you're like, okay, we share some common interests, that's a good place to meet people. But just like finding a job, you got to put yourself out there and really go for it. It's not always just sitting back and thinking it's just going to happen and fall in your lap.
Yeah, that's how I was thinking about things, honestly. But the last dude I was talking to, not going to lie, he was a trapper. And that was an experience. And I'm like, never again. So I know what I don't want. It's just difficult finding what I do want.
And girl, half the battle is knowing what you don't want and what those red flags are. So you already know from your past relationship, I am never doing this again. If this happens, I know that's a red flag and I'm not doing it. And I think that's so important of having your own standards. So that's halfway there.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. And you want to give out your Instagram so people can see you?
Oh, my gosh. My Instagram is at Introducing Lee on Instagram.
Introducing Lee?
Yeah, L-E-E.
Good luck.
All right. Let's see. Yes. Let's see if there's any worthy men out here for you.
All right. Good luck, Mama.
Thank you.
Ask Ye, 800-585-1051. We got rumors on the way?
Yes, and let's talk about Jocelyn's Cabaret. There's a lot of drama going on surrounding that show, and we'll tell you what the allegations are and what the Zeus Network has said.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Oh. Blow the whistle. Oh, blow the whistle. Oh, blow his whistle.
What, see?
Oh, you always go too far. What?
You always go too far.
What?
You always go too far. You just can't have a good time.
What?
You always take it too far.
What,
did
man?
Did he just snort?
What?
Yes, he did snort, man.
What? Why you stop blowing?
No, I'm not blowing no more.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's get to the room. Let's talk Jocelyn.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, there's a lot of drama surrounding Jocelyn's Cabaret, and that's the reality show that she has on the Zeus Network. And so now Amber Ali, one of the cast members from the show, went live yesterday and said that she was attacked by Jocelyn and Jocelyn's fiancé, Ballistic. Here's what she had to say.
I get I knocked your bitch out, but your bitch is steady rushing me, steady attacking Jocelyn.
Yeah, Amber, you gonna keep running up, and she gonna keep doing it to your ass. She gonna drop kick your ass again.
He was airing it on, geeking it up when she kicked me. But soon as I deck her ass, now you want to rush me? What the f*** you think this is? This ain't Jocelyn's world. Every time we told Jocelyn to fight 101 head up, She kept jumping up like she was about to, but Raven and Kadiamond kept running up. Bitch, you ain't finna f***ing do nothing. Sit your ass down. You know damn well you met your match this season. That's why you kicked me out the cabaret from jump.
I think you should know how to fight when you go on any reality show. You should expect to fight, and you should know how to fight. That's what I believe.
You're not supposed to be physical. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
There
should be security there so that this doesn't happen. Now, Amber Ali was also in the hospital, and she did say that she plans to press charges.
I'm in the hospital because Jocelyn kicked me and ballistic attacked me, but I only came to the hospital because my ribs are very bruised because Jocelyn had some big ass boots on and she kicked me.
Dang. I knocked Jocelyn the f*** out and I was being attacked by ballistic next thing I know. And that's why I'm pressing, because y'all did that for their protection, and that's not right. Ballistic put his hands on me. Y'all should have held him back until the police got there, and y'all should have let him go to jail. I gotta protect me.
They fight a lot on that show.
Listen, I know I don't care about what's not supposed to happen. I've watched enough reality TV to know what happens. So when you go on these shows, know how to fight, carry a weapon, protect yourself at all times.
Yeah, but they're saying that security was holding them back. Yeah. And that it was also her fiancé. It was a man.
Episodes ago.
All right, now Riri, who's also from Jocelyn's Cabaret.
Keep acting clueless if you want.
Was on Instagram and she was crying. And here's part of that clip.
I'm in so much pain right now. So don't mind me. I've been in bed all day. I'm just in a lot of pain. My back hurts, my ribcage hurts, my neck, my hips, my face, my head. I didn't do nothing to nobody.
Lord have mercy.
Who was the girl, the woman that was fighting like Spider-Man? Like she was crouching down. Like who was that?
Man, shut up.
I swear. They were fighting. They've been fighting for like the last couple of episodes.
Now, Jocelyn went on social media and she said, Mortal Kombat. She said, I have Mortal Kombat one hole, pimp slapped another one, pushed one into last night's episode.
Wow. Let me read it. I read that yesterday. That was funny.
She said, keep crying from your hospital bed with your broken ribs. One kick, you flew into next day. Rotten mouth asshole. And for you dumb bitches, when you sign up for a reality show, you cannot file a lawsuit against anyone on the show, you dummies.
Let me read that. I want to hear Charlamagne.
No, because me and I was laughing about that yesterday because she really tweeted like how people be when they be describing themselves in a fight. I Mortal Kombat one hole and I kicked the other hole down the stairs and I threw another hole through a window and I jumped on the top of the car like Spider-Man and I body slammed the pile driver right through the top of the roof and it was a convertible. But I made it a roof.
Now, the Zeus Network released a statement and said the Zeus Network would like to thank all of our viewers for their continued support. While our programming remains authentic, loud, provocative, raw, unscripted, and uncensored, under no circumstances do we condone bullying, unprovoked violence, and men attacking women. Currently, we are conducting a thorough review of the events that took place during the Jocelyn's Cabaret reunion taping. The safety of our talent, crew, guests, and fans is our top priority.
They always put those kind of statements out after the fact. If you decide to be on a reality show, protect yourself at all times. It's almost like they act like we don't know what's going to happen on a lot of these shows. How many years have we seen people fighting on these reality shows? At this point, you would think all of these reality shows would have some protocol in place where this doesn't happen at all.
This is not the first episode. I've seen 2-3 episodes.
Forget this show. I'm talking about just in general, the culture of reality shows, period. You always see somebody end up going to blow.
Yeah, that's why they have security that's supposed to break it up. And there was security there. So.
Security always comes after the fact. They let about 15 seconds of the fight happen before they intervene.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor reports.
Now, Wendy Williams was on Good Morning America. You watch the interview? Anybody up here?
I saw
we're
it.
Doing
it's only like 5 minutes.
We're doing the show.
Are you saying it? How was it?
It was a phone call. She called in to Good Morning America.
On Zoom?
It was a phone call. You couldn't see her face. TJ, salute to TJ. TJ was on Zoom. TJ Holmes. But she was on the phone.
Okay.
Was it good? Anything interesting? Anything that she revealed? Anything at all?
I was doing a number two at the same time. So I didn't want... I was doing a number two at the same time. And so when people was walking in and out, I would turn it off because I didn't want them to know that was me in the stall. So, you know, if they heard...
Tima, all right.
You know, I just...
All right,
yeah.
All right. That's
they
the
said
report.
She addressed her health and legal battles and mental and physical well-being.
All right. People's Choice Mix is up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Angela Yee here, and the General Insurance has been saving people money for nearly 60 years. So if you want quality insurance for less, take a closer look at the General. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply.
Morning.
morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. I want to shout to Abrams Books. They sent me the books. My books are starting to come in. Of course, my book comes out April 19th. Real Life, Real Love.
That's right. I can't wait to read it. It's not just your book either, bro.
It's me and my wife's book, I should say.
Bastard. You keep saying it's yours. That's the problem.
Damn, yo.
Me and my wife's book.
Well, Gia is going to be on lip service, minus Envy, so we're going to have some unfiltered conversation.
Yeah, she's coming up here, minus me too. I'm going to let y'all, you know, interview her without me here.
Envy, you should be here for that.
No, I think it'd be better. Because y'all know me.
That sounds scary to me. That sounds like some shook stuff to me. You better have your ass here in this chair.
Envy, you got to do the interview too.
Every press that your wife does, you should be doing with her because it is y'all book.
Yeah, it is, but I'm going to let... She's going to lip service.
We actually requested not to have Envy there.
They're doing the ladies thing.
Yeah, so that's fine. And I want to shout out to Coppin State University. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be over there talking all morning and afternoon. So shout out to my boy Joshua Humbert at Coppin State University. And then it's wholesale day in Detroit for my store, Private Label. So I'm so excited for that. So guys, make sure y'all come through and get your hair and your bundles and your wigs and everything wholesale.
Sounds good to me. And when we come back, we got the positive notice of Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. And we also have to shout out Anjanue Ellis for joining us. She was in King Richard. She played Serena's and Venus's mom.
That's right. She did an amazing job in that movie. And she was in Lovecraft Country, too.
Yeah, and she's nominated for an Oscar Best Supporting Actress this year. So salute to that queen.
You got a positive note, Charlamagne?
I do have a positive note. Salute to my guy, Arnold Taylor, man. Carolina's all day, Charlotte, 704. Big CEO energy, my man Arnold Taylor. I saw Arnold post this, and I really, you know, feel this message. He said some people miss the message because they are too busy looking for the mistake. And I think that's the world that we really live in. Like, nobody listens with the intent to understand anymore. They just want to reply, especially because they get rewarded for it so much because of social media, man. So, you know, sometimes, man, people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mistake. Look for the message.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.